It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
I think it might be fun. Whoa, hey, you caught me talking on that hot mic. Oh, Lisa likes when I do that. Welcome to the program. Hey, enjoy that open. It's really interesting, but I'm going to change it up soon because we want to be fun and different and clever. And speaking of clever, is the ever...
You stopped short of calling me fun, I see.
You're fun, but you're clever and you're a good guy. Mr. Scott Connor. Let's go with it, Lisa.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Sorry about that. I had to wake Lisa up over there, ladies and gentlemen. She was taking a nap. I was captivating her with my humor. Tell us about the captivating stock market.
Tuesday was a wacky day. That's the technical term.
Yeah. A wacky doodle.
It was wacky. You know, the market was pretty scared in the morning, based really still on continuing fears from Europe. The S&P at one point was down almost 20 points. The Dow was down about 200 points, you know, late morning, mid-morning.
Wow.
But we had a really nice late day rally. Dow ended up down 77 points, which is really a non-event. S&P down 5. NASDAQ down 11. Big move in gold. Gold down $32. That's a little over 2%.
Let me ask you a quick question on the market, because this is what people are, they're driving in their car, they're listening at home, they're going, why is that, Scott? Why did the market drop 200 points and then it closes down only 70-some points? Is that because all of a sudden the news got better that people, they overreacted and people, or are people seeing this as an opportunity to buy into the market being pulled back?
Well, a lot of times I think you can tell the story by what the daily chart looks like. So today was, you know, we sold off pretty sharply and then just kind of continued to drift down and drift down. And at a certain point in time, things just turned around and the market started coming back pretty quickly. To me, those are computer trades.
So it hit a price and then all these preloaded,
right,
ready to go trades. As soon as it hit this price, buy so many shares.
That's right.
Okay.
That's what it looked like to me.
Okay.
So basically those are, you know, some very, very complicated algorithms saying these stocks are priced at an attractive point right now. So let's go ahead and scoop them up.
Alrighty. And you started to talk about gold.
Gold down $32 on Tuesday's trade.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was actually inside 2%? Of, yeah, it was inside of 1600 for a little while on the day. So
any of that gold you've got laying around in your drawers or you find in your socks you want to take and cash in for gold and get that money, you better hurry up and do it. You've heard these commercials, right?
Yeah, gold's had a tough year.
Well.
But you know, it's not gold in a vacuum. It's really the precious metals across the boards. If we look at palladium and silver, palladium in particular was down something like 3.5% on Tuesday's trade. So really big moves on precious metals across the board. A lot of that is because the market is starting to suspect that the news is just not bad enough for another big round of QE. So silver down 1.8% on the day on Tuesday, platinum down 1.3%, palladium down almost 3.5%.
Let's see now. The euro's going down. Euro's falling, right?
Yep.
Against the dollar.
Yep.
And so that
although there is some volatility in the euro right now because there is becoming a growing speculation that Greece will exit the euro, which actually makes the currency stronger.
Wow. Okay. So now this is actually becoming more, not just this possible idea, but becoming more and more kind of a expectation.
Yeah. Now there are some really tangible reasons to think that. So the way their election process works is that, you know, they sweep everybody into office, and then they have to get basically a coalition, a majority.
Because how many parties they have? A bunch of parties, right?
It's a ton. Yeah, it's tons. So the right side of the spectrum tried to get their coalition together over the weekend. They couldn't do it. The left side tried to get their coalition over the last couple of days. They couldn't do it. So their solution to that problem is to have another wave of elections.
Wonderful.
So there's another wave of elections coming in June. And if the left can, the left are the ones that are saying, we're not doing this bailout stuff. Whatever the previous administration told you, you can forget
about
it.
Vote for us and we'll make sure all that goes away.
Right. And, in the meantime, there are certain parameters that have to be met in order for them to get their next bailout payment. Well, if they don't even have a government, how are they going to meet them? So there's getting to be more and more speculation that not only will Greece exit the Eurozone, but that they want to and the rest of Europe wants them to go.
So not just leaving the European Union, but also leaving the actual... Well, if they leave the union,
the
you can't
currency.
Be in the... Yeah, so they're leaving the currency and the union.
That's right.
Because they could leave the currency and stay in the union,
they
right?
They could. That is right.
Okay, so it may be the first stroke is just getting off the euro.
Yeah, but
and what do they go back to? What's their currency?
The drachma.
Drachma.
But it is a mess. And for me, and I am not by any means a political analyst, let alone a Southern European political analyst, but it seems to me that the appetite among the population there is to go as far left as they can. And if they are going to have to make a decision. Are they going to go to the right, or are they going to go to the left, or are they going to have no government at all? And I think
we already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think they'll lean left on that.
You know, you shouldn't sell yourself short, Scott. I think you could get there. Just drink lots of wine in the afternoon. And
I already do that.
That's why our portfolios are doing so well.
So that's the news out of Europe. We'll see what happens there. When we get back, I have some interesting economic news and a little bit of corporate news on Tuesday's trade.
Good man. Thank you, Scott. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
There's
ladies and gentlemen, Lisa's taking the day off, so I'm just going to...
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Well, there you go.
All right, we're back. Well, Lisa said, hey, I just can't stop talking to you. Dave, you're just fascinating. I'm telling stories of wrestling with my son in the pool and his trying to body slam me and very funny stories. The things we do on the breaks to entertain ourselves. All right, Scott, so we were getting ready to go domestic.
Yeah, here's some corporate news. McDonald's, you know, McDonald's had a stellar last few years. They have not had such a great 2012. The year's been a little unkind to them. They disappointed the market on Tuesday with a report for same-store sales that were lower than market expectations for April. So we're starting to see, you know, almost a confirmation of a trend in the wrong direction for McDonald's. Also, fellow fast food restaurant Wendy's had a rough day after they posted earnings that missed expectations. Most of that was due to higher beef costs.
Okay, so this is a perfect time for getting my story. Okay, I'm going to hijack part of Scott, and we'll continue. Obesity fight must shift from personal blame to the U.S., panel says. Reuters reports that the influential Institute of Medicine said on Tuesday that we need to look at taxing, and apparently they're a big deal. Have you ever heard of them, Scott?
I have not.
Okay, so I guess they're a big medical organization. They said we got to pass taxes on sodas, and it's not your fault if you are overweight.
I don't think the taxes are going to deter behavior unless they're just so outrageous.
Well, the Institute of Medicine, the IOM, says the idea that obesity is largely the result of lack of willpower.
Is that a government agency?
Yeah, it must be. They say that if this idea that lack of willpower on the part of individuals is why people are overweight, that's wrong. It's not their fault. So here's the government saying it's not your fault. It's the food industry. It's the restaurant industry. It's the soda. It's always somebody else's fault. and that the average person can't maintain a healthy weight in this obesity-promoting environment. So anyway, so this goes on and on and on and on and on. And so my point of mentioning it in this time in the program is McDonald's may have a lot harder time, as will other fast food or other restaurants, if they don't adapt to making healthier foods available.
Well, but they have, though. I mean, over the last couple of years, they really have. Burger King completely revamped their menu to be much, much healthier. I know McDonald's is really cut back on the size of fries and is including apples in children's meals. So, I mean, they're aware of it. That's not to say it's a solution to the problem, but I do think they have made some effort in the past handful of years to be a little more conscious.
Well, no matter what any government agency says, we still have a lot to do with what we do. And, you know, I've been on this paleo diet. I've been telling everybody about it. It's this basically it's ancestral paleolithic diet. Basically means you eat like a caveman. You eat like somebody that was primitive, and you eat you eat stuff that's naturally available. And, you know, I'm not eating any of this processed stuff. I'm not eating hamburgers from McDonald's. Maybe that's why their profits are down. I'm not getting my double fish on Friday anymore.
Well, good for you.
Anyway, it's about taking care of yourself. All right, what else you got, Scott?
Watchmaker Fossil had a really horrific day on Tuesday, down 37%, closed on Monday at $124, closed on Tuesday at $78.
That's not good. You know, people are going to think we've actually coordinated our talking points today, which we did not. We never do. But it's funny you mentioned that, Scott. But guess what? I have the solution reported by Wall Street Journal. Not really. They didn't report it as a solution. They reported it as an interesting observation. But I have a solution for our energy problems.
All right.
Dinosaur gas emissions may have warmed the air, speaking of Paleolithic diets. And so there's
fossil watches.
So somebody actually paid for a study to be done that is reported in the Wall Street Journal today that dinosaurs apparently, let's see, what's the number? By the I don't know who came up with this study or who was the poor sap that had to go and do this study, but by their estimate, these dinosaurs generated 520 million tons of methane gas a year. Hmm. That's as much as we do today with everything that we're doing in terms of methane gas.
Perhaps that's what the paleo diet gets you.
I don't know. Maybe so. Cattle belching and gas account for just 20% of U.S. methane emissions. So they took that and they extrapolated. Oh, here it is. This is who's doing it. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. They're taking care of us, Scott. They're looking out for you and they're looking out for me.
Yeah, we could use a little government shrinkage right there.
Well, there you go.
A little bit of economic news. I see Lisa reaching for her paddle. I want to get this out real quick. U.S. crude oil down $97. That's the fifth day in a row down.
Okay.
In addition, we can bring that
even further down if we could get the Jurassic Park thing going and get some dinosaurs back in there.
In addition to that, crude oil stock in the United States already at the highest level since 1990, expected to raise again next month.
That's wonderful news.
So stocks are very high. A little bit of good news I want to give you here. U.S. home prices up a little bit for the first time since July. U.S. home prices edged up 0.6% in March. First monthly rise since last summer.
Well, that's good news because housing ownership, Investment News reported housing ownership is at the lowest point. The percentage ownership is at the lowest point we've seen in 15 years.
Yeah, banks are starting to loosen up, but I think banks really need to loosen up quite a bit in order for this problem to really start.
Do you know any bankers, Scott? They look like loose guys to you.
No.
I mean, they've got their ties.
Compared to me?
Yeah, I mean, their ties are all the way up. They never roll their sleeves up like you do.
Well, I have heavy lifting to do. I do want to give you other couple pieces of good news.
Well, hold on. You can't go anywhere. Lisa's already told us we got to go to the break. That means you've got to stay for another segment. So don't even think of leaving. Hang in there, Scott. He wants to manage the portfolios. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Connor, you stay put.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Are we back already? All right. Hey, so I made Scott stay after class because he's got some more stuff to say. I've got some more stuff for you too, Scott, so go ahead.
All right, I only have two more.
Give me some good news.
NFIB Small Business Index, which basically is an optimism index, at a very high level, post-recession high.
Who are they asking?
They're asking small business owners. And this completes the trend, or not completes the trend, but verifies the trend of optimism numbers are really, really, really strong, among particularly among employers and manufacturers.
You know, I hope that translates to some jobs.
Well, they're broadly saying that, you know, they expect to do some hiring. They expect sales to increase. They've been saying this for a little while, but this is the best number we've seen since about 2007. So good news there. And then finally, you know, we've talked a number of times about how we have all these unemployed people on one side of the equation, and on the other side of the equation, there are all these employers saying we need more skilled workers. There just aren't enough skilled workers out there. Well, job openings in U.S. workplaces increased to 3.74 million in March. That's up from 3.57 million.
So you're telling me U.S. businesses need to hire almost 4 million people?
There are that many job openings out there right now.
Lisa, don't get excited. Lisa's eyebrows just went up. You're going to do what you're doing, Lisa. Don't even think about it. Okay.
Now, to give you some context, in December of 2007, which is before things really started going south, there were about 4.3 million jobs open. So there are just about as many jobs open right now as there were back then.
But they're skilled jobs. Is that what you're telling me?
But they're skilled jobs. That's the problem.
And so that means you have to have skills before you get there. You can't just show up and be a warm body.
Yeah, they're not entry-level jobs. A lot of them are manufacturing. They're service, you know, AC technicians, stuff like that.
You got to be a fracker. You got to know how to run those fracking.
You got to do
something.
Okay. Yeah, you got to know how to do something.
You got to know how to run the fracking machine.
Yeah, Kevin and I spoke about...
Who's this?
Kevin Gettings.
Oh, Mr. Kevin Gettings over at WROD,
yeah,
one of our favorite radio stations.
Yeah, we were speaking about how for high school students trying to enter the workforce for the summer, there are virtually no jobs. Those are obviously much less skilled positions than what we're talking about here.
So we need a solution. We need to train that. You know, that would be a government expenditure I would vote for.
Yeah, we need an apprenticeship type of program. But you know, I can get you some details on this. But you know who's really involved in that? Remember the guy that played Cliff Clavin on Cheers, John Ratzenberger?
Oh yeah.
He is really, really, really big on training workers for exactly this type of job, and they do. It's a charitable organization that he heads, and they have trained thousands of people for employment.
I think that's fantastic. Well, let me give you a couple pieces of news I want your thoughts on. You know, we talked about Europe, and who was this? USA Today? Yeah, the USA Today had a good article, and they talked about the path that Europe chooses will have consequences on the United States. We talked about the euro going down. And here's a challenge that this may affect us, is that as the euro falls, of course, that makes our exports to Europe more expensive for
right.
them, and it makes their exports to us cheaper, right?
That's right.
So if you're wanting to buy stuff from Europe, it will be cheaper.
Yeah,
if you want to travel to Europe,
trip, yeah.
It'll be cheaper.
Sure.
When I went over a few years back, and this has been, well, this has been quite a few years. Well, not quite a few years, but I think 3 or 4 years. Yeah, I took the kids. So we had all three of them. So it must have been in the last 3 years. Anyway, went to Italy, okay, and took my wife's aunt, and we went over and saw her family over there. And the euro was like at $1.70.
Yeah.
That hurt. That was painful. So now it's $1.30, so it'd be a lot cheaper to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we're going. I'm not telling my wife we're going. Okay, that was not an invitation to go. But when you look at how this affects us, it's all related. I mean, in terms of our exports. And right now, we can't afford our exports to fall.
We can't, because that's, you know, manufacturing, where we keep talking about we can have the biggest impact on jobs.
Did we talk about the bank failures?
No.
We didn't get to that yesterday? Okay.
No.
Bank failures, of course, are down quite a bit from last year. We did have a couple that were close to home. Here was one in North Lauderdale, Florida, that was turned over. Security Bank, ironically. Security Bank. 3-branch bank that had about $100 million in assets. They failed on Friday of last week and had to be taken over by Banesco USA, which is a unit of the Venezuelan-based Banesco. And there's been a few others that failed. So, but the good news is bank failures are down.
Yeah, that consolidation in the banking industry really has been terrific for some of those companies that are taking them over. I know TD Bank North, really one of their easiest ways into the market of Florida was to take over some of those banks that were, when they were failing left and right back a couple years ago.
So basically they're laying down by the water pool like a lion waiting for the antelope to come up
and
eat.
Yeah, not so much anymore,
drink.
But that definitely was a nice, easy acquisition method for bigger banks.
There's another 5-second warning for you, Scott. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
That's a load of bull.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you, it's a load of bull, and I don't care who you are. That right there is funny. All right, let me get to some of the silly stuff. Paul Krugman, who is going to tell us all how to fix the economy. This is an economist. He's does a lot of writing. He's written a book. He was interviewed with Rolling Stone, and he talks all the time about how we can fix everything. And he's a self-proclaimed far-left liberal economist, fiscally liberal. I don't know about his social policies. And you always got to keep that in mind when we start thinking and putting people into boxes. You know, a lot of people are on the left on one issue and on the right on another. So I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm more socially moderate. So Mr. Krugman, though, what I want to comment on, and this, I'm seeing this, what does Paul Krugman and a doctor I met at a party not too long ago have in common? Well, I'll tell you. So Rolling Stone does this big, long article, and so I read this because I was like, well, I saw it pop up on my computer when I was looking for major stories that I might talk to you about, and so one of the things that he writes about, which is, I debated calling this load of bull or your two-minute warning, because it could be either one. He writes that now's the time for government to spend more, not less, until the private sector is ready to carry the economy forward. Okay. And so he basically says that President Obama's efforts to stimulate the economy didn't go anywhere far enough, that we didn't spend enough money, and that it basically boils down that economists like this, what they believe, or policy makers or politicians, what they believe is that we need to spend more money to stimulate the economy, and that the fundamental problem we have in the United States is not enough demand for services. Okay, that's all good. I'm with you there. But the fundamental flaw or problem is that the solution is that they think that government should be the one to spend the money. And because, see, if you go on a spending spree, which is what Mr. Krugman is recommending, if our country goes on a spending spree, what's that going to do to the deficit? It's going to raise it, right? Yeah, it's going to raise the deficit. And so, of course, you have to raise taxes to try to fight that or whatever, or you want more tax revenue, which hopefully you get from the increased economic activity, not by having to raise taxes, but just by the growth of the economy. Well, here's my thinking. You tell me if you, well, you can think about this, okay? You don't have to tell me. You can just think about this. If we're going to incur a deficit, which way would you rather do it? Would you rather have the government borrow money and spend it as the government sees fit in an attempt to stimulate the economy? Or would you prefer that the government cut taxes, which will also increase the deficit, until such time as that increased, that tax revenue that they don't get, but you get to get the money and you get to spend it, because whose money is it anyway? Oh, that's right. It's your money that they're taxing. So you get to keep the money, you spend it, and that increases economic activity. Yes, it may increase the debt, but so would the government if the government was spending the money. It always comes back to that. And there was a report out that the current administration, Mr. Obama, we're looking at close to $5 trillion increase in deficit under his tenure. I'm not saying it's just him. I'm just saying we've increased the deficit by $5 trillion, roughly. All right, let's say for the next 4 years, we increase the deficit by $5 trillion more. Do we want that to happen because we're trying to grow the economy by having the government spend it, or you get to spend it because your taxes get cut? I know which way I'd like to do it, and I think I know which way is going to very much increase the number of small businesses in this country. You see, the fundamental problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need better leadership. We need people to come out and say, here's exactly how we can increase our economic growth engine for our country, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this, is to grow our way out. $15, $16 trillion in debt. We're finding out in Europe that you can't cut enough to fix that. You've got to grow your way out. So what does Dr. Krugman and the other doctor I mentioned have in common? I met a doctor at a party the other day, and we were talking a little bit, small talk, and we were talking about the market and the economy, and he was hoping things would go better. And I said, yeah, me too. I said, but those employment numbers don't look very good. He's like, yeah, but you know, we can just get big businesses to hire people. I said, okay, but what is the job of a big business? What is the job of the CEO of that company? To raise the value of the shares of that company for the shareholders. Does that CEO, him or her, does that CEO do their job well by hiring people they don't need? Of course not. They'd get fired. So you can't make them hire, at least not in a capitalist system that we have. They have to have incentives and reasons to hire. And then the other comment, which was priceless, he says, yeah, but rich people still have money. Well, yeah, that's self-defining. Rich people have money. So what? Do you want to take that away? Are we talking revolution? I mean, come on. I mean, either we're the free United States or we're not. If you want to get more centralized control, well, pick any country overseas. There's plenty of them to go. But if you're all about freedom and what our country's supposed to be, well, that's more about capitalism. And that's, I'd say, uncontrolled capitalism or reckless capitalism. But you don't say, oh, rich people have money. Let's go and get it and give it to people that don't have any. And you know, I mean, you ever think about this? Think about how much money goes to charities each year. How much of it you think comes from rich people? How much of it comes from people that don't necessarily maybe agree with other people's political position? You know, we all have different thoughts about politics, but we all know that we've got to find a way out of the current situation. Europe's in a much further down the road situation and much worse than we are. We've got a lot of choices in our country, and we got a lot of choices about how to fix this, but I don't want the government spending money that I can spend myself. If the goal is to stimulate the economy and we're going to increase the deficit to do it, thank you very much, senators and congresspersons. I'll spend that money. I don't need you to do it for me. All right, Lisa, I know that we are running long in our break. Why don't I just hit a couple more things and that'll be enough for today. What do you think? Lisa says, yes, that's good. All right. Let me hit a couple other things that I think. Oh, here's one that I wanted to get to. I've been saving. Real quick, I get this question a lot. Should you retire with a mortgage? I can answer that in a minute. The answer is it depends on your situation. It used to be that everybody tried very hard to retire and not have a mortgage and they retired. But it's with interest rates where they are and with people's situations and, of course, the employment or people maybe getting laid off, that decision no longer is so clear cut. If you can afford to pay off your mortgage before you retire, wonderful. If you can continue to work and you have a good job and you like your job, don't quit. Keep working. You're living longer. Longevity is expanding in front of us real fast. But this concept of don't pay off the mortgage because you can invest it and make more money, I think you need to be real careful. If your mortgage is 4%, 5% or higher, I would try to pay it off instead of investing that money somewhere else. So as you think about your mortgage, you don't want to get some. I've had people come in and say, David, I've got a mortgage for X. I've got a mortgage for $100,000 and I've got this $100,000 I was thinking of investing with you. What should I do? Okay, well, if you're not asking an objective person, they might say, no, give me the $100 and I'll invest it for you and you'll pay the mortgage off. We can beat that mortgage rate any day of the week. Well, not in today's environment. It's not so easy. And if you've got a mortgage, say, for 5%, by paying it off, you're earning a guaranteed 5%. So it's not so clear cut. And if you're going to sell the home within 5 years, you probably should just keep paying it and not paying it off. But if you're going to stay in that home and you know you might already be taking a standard deduction, so it doesn't really matter on the mortgage interest deduction, you might be better off paying it off. But it depends on your situation. And this is where a financial planner maybe can help. The other thing is if you might get sued, there are advantages to homestead property, at least in Florida. Other states may vary. Homestead property, your residence has better bankruptcy and creditor protection than other assets. So you might be better off paying it off, having that asset. So these are the things to think about when thinking about your mortgage. I think we're out of time, Lisa, right? Okay, Lisa's giving me the nod. That's it. She's cutting me off, but I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons.
what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.